This is Jay Sekulow. According to the DHS secretary, a near system-wide meltdown on the southern border.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It's absolutely a crisis down there. We need to patrol that border. We need to have an immigration system that has integrity. And right now, every part of the system is overwhelmed.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They are coming here for family reunification and for economic equality. That's it. And under the asylum laws, those are not valid claims under our asylum laws. They're being denied. It's a crisis. And let me say one last thing.
Quickly.
It's not just a humanitarian crisis. It's a threat crisis, too. The cartels are exploiting this. More drugs and bad things and human trafficking are happening every day along the southwest border.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, in yesterday's broadcast, we're bringing you the real evidence on all of this, because yesterday's broadcast, it was a former DHS director, Jay Johnson, saying that by anybody's definition, there's a crisis at the border. What you just heard a moment ago, I'm going to play it in a second, I want to reset it up, is another Obama official, the President Obama's official, and this was the former Customs and Border Patrol director under President Obama. And he says they're coming here for family reunification and for economic equality. That's it. And under asylum laws, those are not valid claims. Under our asylum laws, they're being denied. It's a crisis. And let me say one last thing. It's not just a humanitarian crisis. It's a threat crisis, too. The cartels are exploiting this. More drugs and bad things and human trafficking are happening every day along the southwest border. Now, you now have the two officials, Jordan, with the Obama administration, senior, I mean, the Customs and Border Patrol director and Homeland Security director, saying crisis at the border.
That's right.
This at the same time while the national emergency is being challenged by the Democrats, although they weren't able to override it.
That's right. So, I mean, just get some facts. This is put out by a Department of Homeland Security Secretary Nielsen in Fox News. These are just the numbers. Last year, we were apprehending 50 to 60,000 migrants a month at the southern border. Last month, we apprehended more than 75,000, the highest in over a decade. And this month, in April, they're predicting 100,000 migrants per month. The U.S. cannot sustain a migrant flow of 100,000 people a month with the infrastructure that we have at the border, with the number of immigration judges and asylum individuals, those who first take in the asylum application and then refer whether they go before an asylum judge or deny their asylum claim. I mean, we can't hit 100,000. We're seeing the images. I was overseas, but you see the images. It was all over television of these people just flowing in, not necessarily from Mexico, but Mexico allowing these Central American countries to just flow right through up to our southern border because Mexico doesn't want to deal with it.
So, Andy, we talked about on yesterday's broadcast that I wanted to spend the next couple of days just laying out what the evidence is about this problem on the border. And I'm using, as the – you and I have tried a lot of cases together. I'm using what the former president, President Obama's senior officials in charge of this, are saying. Jay Johnson was a former DHS secretary. Remember what he said just – we just played it yesterday, but let me play it for you again.
By anyone's definition, by any measure, right now we have a crisis at our southern border. According to the commissioner of CBP, there were 4,000 apprehensions in one day alone this past week, and we're on pace for 100,000 apprehensions on our southern border this month. That is by far a greater number than anything I saw on my watch in my 3 years as Secretary of Homeland Security.
Which tell you, when you, those numbers, you're a prosecutor, I'm a prosecutor. You can't handle that.
No,
the system cannot handle it. That's why it's meltdown.
Just to give you an idea, that 100,000 people is the population, a population of Brunswick, Georgia, where I am an assistant district attorney, the population of Glynn County, Georgia, and Greater Brunswick in southeast Georgia is about 99,000 to 100,000 people. Imagine that many people coming in to the United States a month.
A system-wide meltdown is what... former CBD, this is the former Customs Border Patrol director under President Obama, says, that's our Secretary of Homeland Security, actually. What he said is the system can't handle it. It's impossible. And the cartels are exploiting it. I mean, you're talking about record numbers here. All right, we'll take your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. What we're doing is laying out the evidence. This is serious. Okay.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Kristen Nielsen calls it a system-wide meltdown. Jay Johnson, former Obama administration DHS secretary, calls it, by anybody's definition, a crisis at the border. And now let me play for you Mark Morgan, former director of Customs and Border Patrol under President Obama. Listen to, it's very important. I'm going to break this down. This is the evidence. I want you to understand what's going on at the border. Take a listen to what he said.
They are coming here for family reunification and for economic equality. That's it. And under the asylum laws, those are not valid claim under our asylum laws. They're being denied. It's a crisis. And let me say one last thing. Quickly. It's not just a humanitarian crisis. It's a threat crisis, too. The cartels are exploiting this. More drugs and bad things and human trafficking are happening every day along the southwest border.
All right. So I want to go to Than Bennett on this because I'm going to break this down. They're coming here for family reunification and for economic equality. That's it. We know those are not bases upon which you get asylum. But Than, I noticed that the left of center members of Congress are now not denying the crisis. They're trying to reformat how are we handling it.
Yeah, they've mainly gone silent, Jay.
It's because
there is a crisis, and you can't, with a straight face, with a credible argument, claim anything to the contrary. So instead, they've gone silent. Jay, I will predict for you, though, the pivot that you will see from some on the left in Washington, D.C., is to try to paint the group that is coming as sympathetic. And some of them are sympathetic. I mean, you heard it in that soundbite from the former Customs and Border Patrol group. Some of them are just seeking a better life. It is a national security threat, but some are coming for a better life. Jay, this is not a compassionate system for those who are seeking a better life. They need to have a system where they can have their claims heard, received, and processed in an orderly fashion. The fact that we don't have control on the border is both a national security threat, and Jay, it's not compassionate to those who have a credible reason to come. The former director is exactly correct.
He also said that under our asylum laws, we've said this too, that family unification and economic equality are not the basis upon which you get asylum.
No, I mean, this is something I specialized in my LLM, and asylum law versus immigration law is totally different. Immigration law is you get visas because of specific work that you're able to perform in the U.S. that we need. If it's technology, if it's individuals with a special knowledge, if it's temporary workers like farm workers, things like that. That's immigration. And then you can also apply to be a citizen. That takes a long time, but you can go through that process. Asylum means you are fleeing for the fear of your life, and they lay out what those fears can even be. And it's fear of death because of your religion, because of your political associations. And again, I think we've also allowed in this gang violence issue because that's kind of political affiliation. So You can make an asylum claim, but you have to document it.
Yep.
You have to document that if you go back to Guadalajara, or if you go back to
Honduras,
or Guatemala or Honduras, Guadalajara is in Mexico, but Guatemala or Honduras, that you are going to be killed, and that your family members you're trying to bring are going to be killed. That's the line. And so if you can't prove that, if you have no documentation for that,
yeah.
No articles, no threats on paper, no phone calls you can play, intake agents for asylum, you're denied. And then we have to figure out what to do with you. And I go to Della on Facebook. She says, I live in Texas. Definitely a crisis. Yes, it is. I mean, about 100,000 undocumented immigrants are being apprehended each day just in the Rio Grande Valley sector. 1,000 a day. This was from CBP.
Yep.
The border protection facility there in Brownsville is at 174% capacity.
Which just means it's got twice the numbers they can handle.
With 5,300 people in custody, so they have to figure out who gets let out.
All
which
right,
then causes the trouble of how do you ever track down these people who are here illegally again?
You just increase numbers. So, Andy, they also said, and let me say one last thing. This is what Mark Morgan said, former Customs Border Patrol Director under President Obama. It's not just a humanitarian crisis. It is a threat crisis, too. The cartels are exploiting this. More drugs and bad things, human trafficking are happening every day along the border. Now, let's define a cartel. What are these cartels?
A cartel is a monopoly over illegal activity. It's an organization, basically, that monopolizes, whether it be drugs, human trafficking, trafficking in children, trafficking in women, and it's a monopoly. They have a complete control over these kinds of illegal activities. And these cartels see this as a free ticket to America. That's what this is all about, a free ticket to explore the cartels' business activities and transactions in the United States. And they're exploiting it and using it to good effect.
Yeah, they are, which is causing havoc on our system.
Yeah, let's go to Elizabeth in Washington State on line one. And I think it shows, you know, it's not just we get a lot of calls from Texas, Arizona, and Nevada, and California, but the whole country feels it because once these migrants are out, they're everywhere.
Yep.
And they're illegal, and so it's tough to employ them, and you feel bad for people. So you get put in these very unique and troubling situations. So Elizabeth in Washington State's calling in on line one. Elizabeth, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all the work you guys do. We all really appreciate it.
Sure.
For staying on the front lines and informing the public. And I just can't really have a comment, maybe a little rant, but I'm from Washington State. I've lived here my whole life, and Seattle used to be a great city. You could take your kids. There's a lot of issues with Seattle, but there is such an influx of illegals here because it is a sanctuary city, and we get everybody coming from California up. And
yep.
my issue is several administrations have admitted there's an issue. There's an issue with the border. There's an issue with illegal immigration. And it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Right.
It's like snowballing to the effect that it's like, now, and Trump came forth and he finally said, listen, we need to proclaim an emergency. We have our people down there. We have our eyes, you know, down there. And so when he claimed this emergency, he was scoffed. He was mocked. And it's like, what's going on?
Well, here's what's happened. It was a political decision to oppose the president. And then what failed for them, besides that they couldn't get the procedural vote, they couldn't override the veto. The president vetoed the declaration declaring the national emergency invalid. Now they've got another problem, and that is you've got two major Obama administration officials coming out saying, time out here, it's really serious. On anybody's definition, it's a crisis at the border. Jay Johnson. Mark Morgan saying, former director of Customs and Border Patrol under President Obama, says bad things are happening, more sex trafficking, more drugs. So it's interesting to me, what are they going to politically try to do? I mean, they're in the courts trying to defeat the National Declaration of an Emergency, but the truth of the matter is, every day that goes by, the president's case gets stronger and stronger based on the evidence we're laying out here.
Yeah, there was a pre-decision made in Washington, D.C. to oppose the president, no matter what he proposed on this, Jay, because when the proposals actually came down from the White House, they included plenty of things that had originated with either Democrat members of Congress or Democrat presidents. The president was just trying to get at a solution to actually secure the border, but a pre-decision had been made to oppose him no matter what. Jay, here's the problem they have. When the details of the proposals come out, we've talked about asylum reform, we've talked about more judges, more agents, all of that is fine and well, Jay, but the president has consistently said something that I think is important for all of our listeners to understand. None of it works unless you have a physical barrier to tie together a secure border to make sure that the assets can then be targeted to process those asylum claims and the others coming across. So you might get some agreement on the other issues, but Jay, it won't work unless there's a physical border to tie it all together. And on that issue, Jay, we have not seen very many Democrats being willing to talk with the president.
And if you've got a system-wide failure and a system-wide meltdown, which is what we're having right now,
yes,
what's the impact of that?
It's devastating to the country that is the victim of it, and the victim of it is the United States. And as the president said early on, either we have a country or we don't have a country, and that means that we have to have secure and not porous borders. We have to have borders that secure, that those who are entitled to come into the country legally do so, and those who are not, do not. And we do have a system meltdown right here, and the president has been trying since the beginning of his administration, despite all kinds of diversions that were thrown in his face for 2 years by the Democrats, to rectify this situation, and he's being opposed to it today. And suddenly now, the Obama administration officials are saying, as you said, Jay Johnson and Morgan, oh yes, there is a crisis at the border, and it take you this long to figure it out? That's what I want to know.
Well, here's the other thing. This is Christian Nielsen, who is, of course, the DHS director, very quickly here says, we're unable to efficiently process the mass arrival of migrants, and because of outdated laws, misguided court decisions, and massive backlogs, the majority of those who do not have a legal right to stay in the United States will never be removed.
Yeah, I mean, that is
what you said earlier,
that is the problem,
right?
Is that when the detention facilities are full and that they're at 175% capacity, and you don't have the border wall keeping these people out yet, what do you have? You have a situation where you can't keep these people all locked up in these kind of situations. So you have to start figuring out, okay, who's the least risk to the public, and we'll give them a date to show up at a court hearing. And guess what they do? They
don't
do not show up at the court hearing because we're a giant country. And to ultimately track them down would take resources we don't even have.
All right. We're taking your calls. Your reaction to this, the evidence. What do you think? Do you think this is a crisis? What do you think should be done? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to play some sound from the acting ICE director in just a few minutes. We've got a lot to talk about. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. You also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope, and we'll read some of those during the breaks here. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. All right, support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that. Easy enough. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And again, got some phone lines open. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families.
The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
You're talking about 100,000 people coming in a month right now. I mean, this is a huge number. DHS, but by both administrations now, Obama, President Obama, President Trump saying, Andy, cannot process it, overwhelming the system, system-wide failure.
That's
this
right.
Means in a course of a year, 1.2 million people are here and we don't know who they are.
Well, as I told you, it's the population of an entire county in southeast Georgia, Brunswick, Georgia, that's coming in illegally
every month.
We're not talking about year. We're talking about a month. And then you multiply that out, and that's a factor that's astounding. How is the United States going to absorb that sort of thing? And you don't know who these people are. You don't know what their health situation is. You don't know what kind of diseases they're carrying. In addition to, you don't know what their motive for coming in to the country is, except it's illegal. Is it human sex trafficking? I say the answer to that is in many instances,
yes. You've experienced those cases. They're horrific.
I have experienced those personally in being a prosecutor for the state of Georgia, and it's horrible. These are human traffickers bringing in human slaves.
Yep.
And they're coming in illegally, and they're being put up in safe houses, and they're being used for illegal pornographic.
How old are these
and
kids?
These are kids, these are children, these are teenagers and young adults, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old children that are being abused in this fashion because of the system that we have allowed under the Obama administration and prior to that as well, we have to admit that,
yes.
To obtain in this country. The president now is desperately trying to cure that situation. Finally, there's a breakthrough, I hear, from the two Democrats, Morgan and Jay Johnson, who admit that this is a serious crisis. Guess what? Of course it is. And it has taken you this long to admit it? No.
And what we have to remember, too, when we talk about this number, like 100,000 migrants,
yes.
That's what they know about. You know, that's what they're able to kind of track. Imagine the thousands they aren't able to track. We're not even talking about apprehensions. This is what they know is coming across. What do they not know? I mean, they can't know everything. This is a huge porous border right now. So, I mean, I think these numbers could be even much larger. You know, I saw Chris Cuomo down at the border. I mean, he has no good arguments. I think it was a Democrat congressman he was on with. The Democrat congressman was telling him, no, Chris, I mean, this is a serious, serious problem. Call it a crisis, call it a national emergency, call it whatever you want. We have to fix this as a country.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take some calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line 3. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. I was trying to think back into history. When has anything close to this happened, and what was the governmental response? And all I can think of is when we were Shanghaiing, the English were Shanghaiing American sailors and putting them on English ships,
yeah.
And that was the start of 1812's war, wasn't it? That's the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, but this is, you know, this is even in a different, I mean, just think about what Andy just said. You got all the sex trafficking. The drug cartels know they can exploit this, yeah. So they're bringing drugs in incredible numbers. And Congress is now in this weird fan pivot point because their whole, I mean, it changed over the weekend.
Yeah.
Their argument went from, there is no, remember the, we're down at the, CNN, we're down at the border, there's no problems here, to now everybody's saying, including the Obama administration, there's a crisis at the border.
Well, Jay, they need to pivot to more than silence, though, because look, again, I'm going to tack back to what Andy talked about as well, the trafficking. Our system, our way of governing and controlling the border right now, Jay, incentivizes that, because if you come with a child, you essentially get to stay. So it incentivizes the cartels and others to grab a child and come across the border. My message to Congress would be very simply this. Quit treating this as a political issue and treat it as the national security threat that there is. Some of these issues are firmly in Congress. ISIS control. There needs to be reform of the asylum law. There needs to be more control of the border. They need to quit looking at the next election and work with the president to actually secure the border. And I would suggest this, Jay, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, or otherwise, I think if you do that, the American people will reward you and send you back to Congress. I think they've got this backwards. I think the American people are ahead of the politicians, and if they work for a solution, they're going to keep their jobs here.
For a bleeding heart liberal to hear a report from DHS like this, our immigration facilities are out of capacity, and we cannot sacrifice our border security duties while responding to an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe. So where are those bleeding heart liberal Democrats then who would rush to always want to help out when there's a unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe on our border that the U.S. could directly impact for good? We could handle this humanitarian catastrophe, but they're unwilling to help.
Jordan, they're leaving the very families that they are telling they are here to help in limbo. And this goes back to the testimony that your dad gave in front of the House Judiciary Committee, where he pleaded with the immigration attorney to not put their clients in this legal jeopardy, but they have refused to do so. I would tell you this, though, Jordan. I think the comments from Secretary Johnson specifically give those bleeding heart liberals an opportunity to pivot in the correct way, because I think it's fair to criticize Jay Johnson that he did not address this when he was the secretary. But think about this, Jordan. It's three times worse already than it was when he was on the job. So he's seen the truth. He's made the pivot. It's time for the bleeding liberals in Washington, D.C. to follow his lead.
I want to play, as we're getting ready to close the segment out, Ron Vitilio. He is the acting ICE director. Listen to this.
It's absolutely a crisis down there. We need to patrol that border. We need to have an immigration system that has integrity. And right now, every part of the system is overwhelmed.
Andy, I focus on that last part. Every part of the system is overwhelmed.
Yeah, the machine is running at the highest speed, and it's red from the furnace and the fire, and it's about to explode and implode and fall apart. And I'm surprised it hasn't done that already, Jay. I mean, I'm no friend of Jay Johnson. Believe me, I didn't like the job he did as Obama's Secretary of Homeland Security. I think it was a horrendous job. But even he has finally come to the conclusion that there is a crisis. And the Democrats have been notably silent about contradicting him, haven't they? I haven't heard anybody say that he's wrong and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, and I mean, you take it, you know, it's very interesting to look at the comments that comes in, because the fact of the matter is that when you have an overwhelmed system, like you said, it's red hot and about to explode. What does that explosion look like? I mean, what does it look like when it melts down? We're already saying we got 100,000 coming in a month we can't deal with.
Yeah.
What happens when the entire system overflows here?
Well, I think that is what is so dangerous, is that we are at the catastrophe level. We are at a level, as you opened the show today, a meltdown level at the border. When it melts down completely, when the catastrophe reaches the next level, which is a full-on humanitarian crisis, and we're very close to that right now, what are the Democrats going to do? They're going to stand in the way of President Trump saying, getting tougher on these countries and saying, knock it off, Mexico. Stop sending us the El Salvadorians, the Guatemalans, the Hondurans who are fleeing their country. You have got to do something, or else we're going to cut you off.
So, Fan, what is – I mean, we only got a minute here.
I know he's pulled back a little bit from that, but I mean, I think that is the big picture, is that how long this goes on, the closer and closer we get to closing that border.
Yeah, Jordan, unfortunately, I think I can answer that question for you. I mean, Speaker Pelosi already said that this is the biggest mistake that President Trump has made, getting tough with the countries that are not cooperating. So, look, at least for her – she's digging in and entrenching herself further, Jordan. I think it's a political mistake, but she's already headed that direction.
All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full broadcast, go over to Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org. There are plenty of you on there right now. Also, of course, you can get us on SiriusXM, and a number of stations now carry the full hour of the broadcast. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We actually have a line open. So that's a good time to give a call and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more, including your comments, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
It's absolutely a crisis down there. We need to patrol that border. We need to have an immigration system that has integrity. And right now, every part of the system is overwhelmed.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, system-wide meltdown, system-wide failure. You've got the Obama administration's Customs and Border Patrol director saying that it's a disaster and the cartels are exploiting all of this. Now, let me play for you the current commissioner of the Customs and Border Patrol. This is Kevin McCallion. It's number 24.
The same criminal organizations that are smuggling migrants, profiting from them, abusing them in the journey, are benefiting from our reduced security presence. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing adults who are trying to evade capture behind those families as we're bogged down with large groups.
All right, so let's break this down. The same criminal organizations, Andy, that are smuggling migrants are profiting from them and abusing them on the journey.
That's correct. They're, as he said, adults who are attempting to, as they come in, to hide behind them and bring with them criminal elements into the United States. And drugs, the influx of drugs is incredible. The influx of illegals who are here for illegal purposes, such as child trafficking and sex trafficking, is enormous. And I think the time has come for drastic action. What do we do when the machine overloads? I am, for one, am an advocate of closing the border. I would trade avocados for cartels any day.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let me go to Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy. The Democrats have made a clear pivot that they're not now saying there's not a crisis at the border. They're calling it system-wide meltdowns. You've got former Obama administration officials saying all this. But then they talk about, and the current Customs and Border Patrol commissioner says, they're bringing adults who are trying to evade capture. They're talking about system meltdown. What does this tell you?
Well, it tells me that Congress has failed to act. And this congressional failure has been multiplied, if you will, by judicial incompetence. Starting with the Ninth Circuit, they extended the Flores decision, allowing families to stay in the United States for extended periods of time. They then get released, and we perhaps never hear from them again. But I think it's increasingly impossible to ignore the crisis at the border. CNN just reported a soaring number of illegals who are crossing the border. Jay Johnson has confirmed that there's a system-wide meltdown or failure. So the news is coming out slowly, but at the same time, Congress refuses to act. So I think what we really need is for Congress to step up, to become an adult, to deal with comprehensive immigration reform on a bipartisan basis, and to secure the border. Because if you come up with policy changes and you don't secure the border through barriers, through a wall, or some other vehicle, guess what? You will have to deal with this border crisis in the future, and that is the problem.
And how many Americans are going to have to die from fentanyl overdoses? I mean, take a listen. This was when Secretary Nielsen was before a hearing, and Congressman Katko asked her that question. Yep. Take a listen, Byte 49. It is scary.
The crisis is just not with respect to immigration. It's with respect to the drugs that are pouring across this border and that are killing our kids at a rate of five an hour for heroin alone. And one of the big components of that is fentanyl. And just a tiny amount of fentanyl is what's proven fatal in most of the heroin overdoses now because the fentanyl is being mixed with the heroin. Can you tell me if there's been any significant seizures of fentanyl at the border recently?
At the border, yes. In the interior as well. ICE, overall interdicted more enough fentanyl last year to kill every American twice over.
That's
substantial amounts of fentanyl.
So and that's enough to kill every single American?
Twice. Yes, sir.
It's amazing.
So, Wes, really quick here, we got 15 seconds. You're a pastor also. The humanitarian crisis here is significant, too, and also the impact on Americans.
Well, it's a huge moral crisis, and the Democrats' unwillingness to work with this president, that in and of itself is also immoral.
We got to figure out how we move that ball forward. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, we've got some video for you. If not, give us a call, 800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're going to take a phone call. I want to follow up then on something that Wes said before the break, but let's go ahead, start with a phone call here.
Yeah, right to the phones we go, and people have been holding on. Let's go to Larry in Indiana online for Larry. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Larry, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that the crisis down there should be laid right flat in the Democrats' lap, plus a majority of the Republicans in Congress as well. The Democrats have fought him since he was elected. And imagine if the Republicans would have taken action early on, much of this wall would have been completed or much of the barrier would have been completed.
So let me go to Fan Bennett on this because I just asked you this during the break. Is there any realistic opportunity of congressional action in the weeks ahead?
Yeah, I don't think in the near term, Jay. I really don't. And the reason for that is the proposal that they had in front of them was really about 50-50 Republican priorities, Democrat priorities, you know, the wall and border security on the Republican side, and then DACA and some other related items on the Democrat side. And that was rejected. Jay, I really believe that the only way for a congressional solution on this will require the president to lead on a number of issues, on expanding detention facility, on continuing to roll back catch and release as he's done, on using Border Patrol agents to process some of these claims. Essentially what I'm saying, Jay, I think the president is going to have to demonstrate and prove till he's blue in the face to Democrats in Washington, D.C., that he is not walking away from this issue. If he does that, then maybe they will move to action. But, Jay, I don't think it's going to be in the next couple of months.
So let me ask you this, Wes, because you just said this, and I think it's important. There is a moral component to this, and we've got we talked about the fentanyl crisis. We know there's Andy mentioned the prosecutions or the kids getting involved in that sex trafficking that's going on there. This is a moral failure right now that we're having.
It is the moral crisis, and it is a crisis of our day. You know, it was Nancy Pelosi last year who brought morality into this subject, and yet last January, a year ago last month, The president tried to compromise with Chuck Schumer in the Senate. They came up with a plan to increase immigration judges so they could expedite cases. They also came up with border security issues, more agents. They also came up with, this was the president's proposal, $800 million for humanitarian aid for the people who are detained at the border. Chuck Schumer was all over this, proposed a $25 billion compromise with the president, and then a week later took it off the table because his base did not like the fact that anybody in the Democrat Party would compromise with this president. That is immoral. I mean, they need to quit weaponizing border security, because as they weaponize border security, they're actually weaponizing this moral issue. Some of your leading candidates, Democrat candidates for president, are still harping about how the border, you know, that the president is anti-immigration. He is not that. Their lack of compassion for this crisis, their unwillingness to work with this president and help these people on the border, help the victims of human trafficking, help the victims of drugs, all of these things, that is blatantly immoral. I don't know how they sleep at night with their unwillingness, not inability, unwillingness to address this issue.
Harry, let me ask this question really quickly here. Because Stan's giving me a very negative prognosis of what's going to happen in Congress. And the president's going to take whatever action he can take. But we've got Republicans and Democrats now that are involved in the field. In other words, these were former DHS directors, former Customs and Border Patrol directors saying, system is melting down, system-wide failure. And our job, I think, at the ACLJ on behalf of our members is, what is the policy? I know we're going to be posting some stuff this afternoon, some issues this afternoon. What is the policy we can put forward? We've got to have comprehensive immigration reform. We have to have border security. This isn't an option anymore. And they're in Fantasy Island if they think, like, it was a Beto O'Rourke saying, I'm just going to, you know, get rid of the fences. Well, that would really help right now. Try that in El Paso.
I think that your analysis is precisely correct. But one of the things that we can do at the ACLJ, and we will post a blog post later today, which provides solutions. But I also think it's very, very important that we engage with the American people, because many people in the mainstream media, including left-wingers in Congress, continue to live in a never, never land. However, the balloon of ignoring the border crisis is gradually being burst, as a bipartisan consensus is emerging, suggesting A, that there is a border crisis, and B, then the question becomes, what do we do about it? So the Washington Times, for instance, yesterday noted that the illegal immigration superhighway is no longer an abstraction. Today, CNN notes that the number of illegals being released into the Rio Grande Valley is soaring. Why is this the case? Partly because of a failed immigration policy, including an asylum policy that incentivizes illegals. And so we have to close those loopholes, and we also have to push back against decisions by the Ninth Circuit and Judge Emmett Sullivan.
And we're talking to real people here who are dealing with this. Christine in Arizona in Yuma on line 5. Christine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Tell us what's happening.
Hello, everyone. Well, first, I just want to say God bless you all for speaking some truth about our problems here on the border.
Sure.
The other thing I want to say is, yes, there is a problem. Most of our Border Patrol agents are at the border, and those men and women are wonderful. They have compassion. They want to uphold the law, and it is very difficult for them to see these families coming, the little children. They are not cruel men and women. And last week, Border Patrol began releasing into our Yuma community groups of families, 200 a day. Our churches and our mission outreach facilities are being overwhelmed.
This is the problem. I mean, you're saying exactly what the problem is, and that is when they talk about a system-wide failure, it's not just the government system-wide failure. No. It's human support groups, churches, synagogues, nonprofits are reaching the maximum point.
They're past the maximum point. So they are left with not being able to help all of those in need. And all they're trying to do is provide the basic assistance to these folks so that they survive this process. And as you said, I mean, everything is overrun, whether it's the schools, whether it's the hospitals, whether it's the doctor's offices. People living in these areas are living in a different world than a lot of us are who aren't in these really right on the border cities and states.
What does it do for, I mean, you deal with local law enforcement a lot.
Yes.
So when the caller's comments from Yuma, Arizona, I mean, Border Patrol, local police, sheriffs, they're, how do you handle this?
I don't see
you
how can't. They're handling. I have no idea how they're handling this overflow and flux of people into the country. I mean, you can't even handle the garden variety criminal elements that we have to deal with from the indigenous American population anyway. And now what we're doing is adding to it what this caller said. 200 families a day? Is that what you said? Now that's, you know, if the average family is four people, you're talking about 800 people a day into the community. How can law enforcement help? How can social services and churches help? Can't do it.
No, I mean, we've reached, when they're saying, I'm looking at the headlines right now, DHS facing system-wide meltdown at the border.
Yes, and this is Christina in California again, feeling this as well with a good comment. Christina on line three, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for all the service you guys do. I'm just saying that right now, how do you operate on something that's hemorrhaging?
You have hit it. I mean, I want you to finish. Go ahead, but you've hit it right on the head here.
Yeah, what do you think?
We need to shut the border down. I'm telling you, I've lived here all my life. I see the explosion of crime going on and all kinds. Everybody.
The concern, Christina, with the shutting of the border down is that, and it may have to be done. I mean, maybe you end up with no choice. The economic impact of this, both on Mexico and the United States, will be drastic. And this is where, listen to Christina's voice here. This is where Congress, they have got to address this. Their own party leadership, when I say leadership, former DHS officials, former Customs and Border Patrol saying, meltdown, system-wide failure, sex trafficking, drugs, a crisis, no matter what your definition of crisis is. They can't argue and send reporters down to El Paso and Yuma with pictures in the background saying, well, it's very peaceful here, there's no crisis. Now the Democratic leadership, when I say leadership, those that were appointed to do these things, run these government agencies, are saying complete crisis, complete meltdown. And Congress has to respond. Argue that.
Can't argue that with a straight face, Jay, but they're continuing to argue it. Look, we've asked the Border Patrol to do an impossible job. They cannot keep up with this, Jay. We've also failed the people who are seeking a better life here. If you have to get control of the situation, I think the caller used a good word for it. You have to stop the hemorrhaging so you can allocate your resources in the right way. And by the way, Jay, that's the best way to provide an opportunity for someone seeking a proper life, is to control your borders so then you can come to America the right way. Right now, it's impossible to do. We've failed on the law enforcement side, and we've failed on the migration side.
Well, folks, remember, in our final segment, and we've got a lot of phone calls in, but we do have a line open, 1-800-684-3110. In our final segment, we focus in on taking all of your phone calls, all of your thoughts. We've got so many of them today, people understanding this crisis. 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org. We're going to have new pieces up on ACLJ.org about this crisis. So check that out at ACLJ.org. You can support the work of the ACLJ there as well.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Last segment, we take all the calls we can. Let's try to hit them. Barbara in Texas there, I think.
Barbara, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I really appreciate you and President Trump all the efforts. I guess my big question, one of them, is that I feel bad for the mothers and the children coming over and what they're faced with. I'm wondering how in the world are the people getting information and access into our country? Who is guiding them on ways to enter illegally?
We know there's those nonprofit groups that run out of Oakland, California that handle the cartels. But also our president has been very direct that it's Mexico itself, that it's the Mexican president and the Mexican government telling people how they can move through, because they don't want these Central American immigrants in Mexico. They can't deal with them. So it's people like from Honduras or Guatemala and El Salvador. They're saying, listen, come through Mexico and then get to the southern border and deal with it, because we cannot deal with you. And the president has called Mexico out. I mean, that's been part of this whole discussion about shutting down the border, saying you have got to do more on your southern border to stop these migrant flows. I mean, Mexico has much stronger laws than we do on the books. They could stop these migrant flows, but instead they're not putting the resources in to do that, and they're allowing this unprecedented flow of Central American migrants coming up through Mexico and then into the United States. I want to make it clear, this is not mostly Mexicans. This is mostly Central American migrants coming from countries south of Mexico, traveling through Mexico with the support of the Mexican government to get them to the U.S. border. It's because Mexico says they don't have the resources to deal with the people. But how about, if you don't, then stop them at your borders. Stop them at your borders. Put those resources in so that you don't have to, allow these people into your country in the first place. Hey, we have, you said by 25 plays right into that question from Barbara.
The increase in family units is a direct response to the vulnerabilities in our legal framework, where migrants and smugglers know that they will be released and allowed to stay in the U.S. indefinitely, pending immigration proceedings that could be many years out. This is due to court orders that undermine the integrity of our immigration system. There's no questioning why this is happening.
Well, the Mexican government is telling them that. You know, they're telling these migrants, you get to America, they're overflowed, you're going to get out of the streets in days.
I think, though, the president's threat to close the border with Mexico had the desired effect, because Mexico, they do not want that, because after he has made that threat over the last couple of days, they have a policy, CBP does, called Migrant Protections Protocol, which means if you come either, you know, claiming, wanting asylum at a port of entry or in between, that we can turn you back to Mexico. They have to house you while your claim is adjudicated. Mexico has not been cooperating much with that. Secretary Nielsen announced yesterday they've decided to expand the Migrant Protection Protocol plan. And at the same time, Mexico this morning announced that they're going to start checking people traversing through southern Mexico. If they do not have papers to come to the United States, then they're going to turn them away.
All right, let's go take another call.
Yeah, Carrie in Arizona online too. Carrie, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yes, thank you. I live in Arizona.
And I see what's happening every day. Our social services and emergency rooms and medical facilities are being overrun. We do have a crisis at the border, but we also have a crisis within our borders. For the past 8 or 9, 10 years, they've been saying 11 million illegal immigrants in our country, and they haven't changed that number. I would not be surprised if it was double that.
And I've said it. I mean, I've said, you know, I think it's probably somewhere between, and I don't have data right now to support this, but that 12 million figure is 10 years old, Fan. 10 years old.
Yeah, it's much larger than that, Jay, and it's going to be much larger than that in a decade unless the enforcement piece is a part of this. We've said this in so many different ways. There are a lot of reforms that need to happen, Jay, but if they're not preceded with border enforcement, none of them will work. All they will do is increase the magnet with which they come to this country.
So here's what I think we need to do. I think we need to do this. The 12 to 20 million people that are here already, put them through a background check. If they're not committing crimes, get them into the system, whether it's a work visa, a green card, a pathway to citizenship, whatever it be. Get that off the table, 20 million. That's somewhere between 12 and 20 million people. Then get border, and at the same time, you have border security, which has to be now enhanced in a real number. And then at the same time, we need to allocate the resources, Andy, necessary so that local law enforcement, local nonprofits, hospitals can address this situation.
Yes, we do. We need to do that. If there's money that is allocable that ought to go to local law enforcement, hospitals, charitable organizations that need the money to do this, and I agree with you.
But then, Than, it scares me that you're telling me nothing's happening up there, where I was just last week in Washington.
Here's the problem, Jay. What you just described is what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were asking for at one point. But here's what happened. Both of them sent statements into the press that was what they wanted. President Trump came back and said, essentially, I'll take that deal. I'll take the wall. I'll take the enforcement. I'll work with you on legalization because we have to have a path forward. Jay, that's when they pulled their proposals back and left the negotiating table. They never intended to make a deal. So it's not that the president has not been willing to talk about their priorities. It's that when he said, okay, let's talk about your priorities, they walked away. It's not a rosy picture, Jay.
You know, we made it through all of the calls. This is our final call in the segment. And so we made it through everybody who called in, held on. We appreciate that. Michael in Maine. Final call of the day.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Jordan and Jay. My question is, do you think the influx of people coming into the border is them trying to get in ahead of the wall being built?
No. I think that they are. I think this is an organized effort. I think this is people selling this idea of you come to America through any means possible, it's going to be better than where you are. And I think that it's a lot of sex trafficking and drugs. Among other things.
I think on the illegal immigration side, they're being told, listen, their facilities are overrun. They can't capture you for very long. They can't hold you for very long. So just get to America, and you're going to be let out on the streets and be able to live your life there.
All right. So, Harry, policy standpoint, really close here at the end of the broadcast. What needs to happen?
Well, first, we need true border enforcement. We need barriers. We need a wall. That's number one. Number two, we need to revamp our immigration system, and we need to deal with the illegal immigrants who are here already. And thirdly, we need to remove incentives which encourage individuals to come to the United States and claim, for instance, asylum without any credible fear of violence. So we need more administrative law judges to process asylum requests expeditiously. And we also need additional cooperation from Mexico and the countries that are in the Northern Triangle in Central America.
All right. And then congressionally, are they going to just do nothing for the next 18 months?
Probably. There's got to be more incentive to come legally rather than come illegally. And Jay, until some of the reforms are in place, essentially, until you have control of the border, that incentive is always going to be upside down.
All right, folks, that does it for the broadcast today. This is a serious issue. We got information being posted this afternoon on ACLJ.org. Also, don't forget our matching challenge for the month of April has begun. You can do that at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. And thank you for your support in March. Made a huge difference. One of the biggest months we ever had at the American Center for Law and Justice. So ACLJ.org for that. Stay engaged with us on Facebook and our social media, as well as Twitter and, of course, Instagram as well. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. As things develop, stay engaged with us at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.